Welcome to the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. If this is your first time listening, make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you can join me in having some epic conversations that access higher levels of potential with creatives and professionals from all around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's guest is Dr. Dan Mozell. Dr. Dan is a shaman chiropractor with a holistic healing philosophy. Dr. Dan has been my personal chiropractor going on 1 year now, and every time I work with him, I'm simply amazed at how this man reads the body, the mind, and the soul of his patients. Every time I work with Dr. Dan, I usually chat with him about my stuck energy, stuck emotional energy, situations in my life that put me into lower level vibrations. The truth of the matter is, every person has micro and macro traumas we are living with and subconsciously playing out in our everyday lives. We all know self-care is important. Exercise, meditation, hot-cold therapies, journaling, talk therapy, getting clear on your values, and from time to time, a physical and spiritual adjustment can put your human instrument back into a coherent state where we can self-heal. Going to Dr. Dan has been amazing for me. It is a bi-weekly checkup, tune-up, so that I can get myself balanced physically, mentally, emotionally, get back on the wagon, keep going with my dreams that are fueling my everyday. In this podcast with Dr. Dan, we talk about letting go of our attachments in life. We talk about what it means to be a shaman and what the role of a shaman is. And we also talk about several healing practical methods that you can integrate in your lifestyle right now to optimize yourself and heal from within. You can follow Dr. Dan on Instagram at Mozell Holistic, or you can book an appointment with him and witness his modern-day wizardry in person at www.mozellholistic.com. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast as much as I enjoyed having the conversation. Okay, so I'm nearsighted then because I can't see far away.
Yeah.
And I've had this issue ever since I was 12, 11.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a common.
Do you think that could ever be reversed, ever?
Well,
and we're rolling. Let's just fucking go.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, I think you, I don't know. I've never worked with that, but to me, why not? You know, I mean, it's just the lens not moving properly, right?
Mm.
That it's because when we're supposed to focus, the lens is supposed to. But yeah, I mean, possibly, but someday maybe you'll get cataracts and I'll put new lenses in.
I know I've had clients that have done certain surgeries that cleaned up a lot of their vision issues, but I mean, I don't know how feasible that is.
To me, you know, I guess I always, when I first heard about that, I said, wow, okay, I wouldn't want to be the early adopter on that, you know.
I agree.
I just,
even the LASIK surgery when it came out 15 years ago, I, you know, you hear about it. People
right.
did it. People swear by it. You
right.
know, I have issues with glasses and contact lenses. Like, I don't necessarily always want to wear my glasses.
Sure.
And contact lenses for a long stretch of time irritate my eyes. And I've tried several different brands, different
right.
kinds, whether
the hard,
they're
the soft.
Yeah, the hard. I never tried the hard ones. Always soft, but then like dailies, 2 weeks, monthlies, and they're all the same shit.
Yeah, well, it's sticking something foreign in your eye, you know?
Yeah,
maybe, well, we'll work on that someday.
So, listen, this is, we're doing a podcast here. This is, like, one of my favorite things to do ever,
right.
okay? Speaking with people, it gives me an excuse to, like, go out, meet people, talk, exchange information, dive deep, see what people are truly about. Okay.
Okay.
And I stopped doing it from, I started it in 2017. I kept it going like really seriously until like the end of 2020. And then I stopped for a good like year and a half. And now I've made the decision to go in super hard and do it, you know, once, twice a week religiously, find the outlets to get it edited, spliced up, diced up, posted out there, taken care of, because I feel it's really important to one's wellness journey to be aligned with the things that they say. Because if
you're saying things that aren't truthful, then typically your reality now starts to become discombobulated, right? You're attracting the wrong people, you're right. attracting the wrong situations. So right. this is a way for me to speak my truth. It's part of what I feel called to, is speak out a truth, speak out what I know when it comes to health and wellness, the things that I'm learning, the things that I'm practicing, the things that I'm sharing with people. It's important for me to speak this out and meet with other people that may have that same kind of feel for it.
Sure.
And then it's a nice way to get it out there into the metaverse for people to kind of take it in. Because, you know, 100,000 years ago, this wasn't a thing, right? You had to hear about a certain type of thing from somebody else from somewhere far away. You know what I mean? And who knows how long it took to get there.
Well, and I mean, but historically, there's always been this oral traditions, things passed down from generation to generation. So, yeah. And it, you know, and for me, sometimes you're up in your head, you're thinking things, and you know, but then you start to speak it, you go, that's not quite, you know, and then
it's not as difficult.
The spoken word is different than the written word, than the words in our head.
Mm.
So I think. Even that, and then too, you're talking to other people, and then, yeah, then you learn, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So it's that whole, I think it's a great, great venue, because even if, like, we're face-to-face, but even if we're not, we're still, it's a, because you say things, I go, oh, you know, I never thought of it quite like that.
Uh-huh.
You know? Even if I'm not thinking that, yeah. I'm thinking that.
You said I mean? There's three different phases we can have words. We got them in our head.
Right.
And then you can get them down on paper.
Right.
And then you can speak the words out. Are they all then like different resonances if they're all the same words, whether they're in your head or on paper or speaking them out? Or do they change the level of frequency and vibration when they're out there somehow? Because I know that if it's all in my head, it's cluttered. When I start to write things down, it gets clearer.
Right.
And then when I speak things out, things tend to, in my world, start to cultivate around some of the things that I say.
Right. Well,
like, what is up with that? Why? Why is it?
Well, I think, like we mentioned earlier, everything's energy and vibration.
Uh-huh.
And the spoken word is powerful.
Yeah, it is.
And because there's just even when, you know, the different sounds, the a, e, a, o, you know, the ooh. So they all have their own vibration. So I think it is different. Yeah, I don't know. I think the spoken word is super powerful.
And then, like, you know, they have lie detector tests. There's people that say things, a bunch of malarkey all the time, and there's nothing, there's no substance behind what they say. It's just words because they have to. Like, you know what was a real problem for me? When I started the podcast in 2017, excuse me, when I started the podcast in 2017, I was a high school teacher, so I was afraid to put out certain styles of content based on what my employer would think of me.
Right.
And they have the power in that situation. They can cut off my way that I fund my existence, essentially.
Sure.
Right. So I would second guess what I would say and what I would put out. Is there a correlation between suppressing your true sense of your spoken word? Is there a tie-in to your wellness? If I'm suppressing my truth, does that affect me physically in a sense?
Well, like in that case, what comes to mind for me, because there's the way where you can say you're not going to exactly speak all your truth, you have to hold back, but then sometimes, which is different than speaking untruths, right? But still, that's still, that suppression, sure, there's, you know, it's that, you know, the fifth chakra's the vocal, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
for
yeah.
For being able to express our truth.
Yes.
This is, it's also about truth, the fifth chakra, as well as speaking. So, yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially if you really are feeling it, that, man, I wish I could say this, then you say, yeah, and I could see why you might not want to do a podcast.
I'm not sure folks out there think about their health in that manner. I'm not sure they're thinking, well, I've been lying to myself all these years about whatever it may be, and that having an effect on their health and well-being. Some sort of diseases that might sprout based on things that are compounded over time, like just stuffing information away, stuffing emotions away, whether that's speaking your truth or just not expressing something that's been bothering you for a long time.
Sure.
I really feel strongly that that's one of the fundamental issues in diseases and illness. Can we break that down a little, you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No doubt. You know, one, I mean, suppressed emotions is, that's no doubt. That's a big, big thing for, because our emotions are physical things, and it's just a way, you know.
It's a physical way in a sense that, like, there's something happening in the body physically.
Well, yeah.
Because it's not like I'm saying something. That's not tangible. You can't measure that.
Oh, you can.
Or just like the vibration you can measure.
Well, like Candace Pert did the molecules of emotion, and she showed that there's these peptides, neuropeptides, that are tied in with emotions, huh. And they are physical, measurable things.
Uh-huh.
And Scotty Walker, the founder of Neuroemotional Technique, he's a chiropractor out in California. He developed this technique. And he did a little bit of research with Candace Pert, and but she did. She worked for I think it was NIH, and came out with these whole showing that emotions cause physical changes in the body, and so it can cause disease. It can cause
inflammation in general, right? Inflammation first, and then that inflammation turns into.
Everything starts with inflammation, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that can be not just stuffing your truth down or suppressing your emotions, but like inflammatory foods.
Oh.
Right? That's another thing that could inflame cells.
Inflammatory people listening to.
Yeah.
Getting people that are all riled up and.
Yeah.
Get you full of anger.
Yeah.
And just. Injustice.
So, like that, I call that a diet too. That's like an information diet, right? You're getting that from your phone every single day. You're getting that from the news.
Right.
And, if that's just constantly within your programming and you turn on the news or you turn on shit radio. When I was a kid, we used to listen to B96,
okay.
We used to 103.5. And because my childhood was listening to that music, going to school with my mom or whatever, okay, I started doing that when I started driving and then into my adult life. And then, you know, you're constantly hearing these commercials every 5 minutes. These VJs are very, or DJs or whatever, are very, just general, not to this or not to that.
Right.
Whatever the case may be. And I started finding myself like, what the hell am I listening to? What am I listening to? Why do I have the radio on still? This is garbage. Then I started realizing, oh shit, I can control the information that I'm putting into my body just like I can control the food that I'm taking into my body.
Just as important.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're not necessarily so esoteric, but people don't think in terms of disease based on what their default programming is.
Right. Well, yeah, like you see it. Yeah, if you grew up in a house where they were always listening, and it was just a certain slant that this was a real negativity.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's hard to not have that in your own life. So
yeah.
That's like you said, as an adult, you look at it and go, holy cow, all right.
Yeah.
And you have a choice. You could really look at it and go, ooh, no, I don't want this, and then change it. Or just not look at it and just be totally oblivious.
Yeah.
And just go, my mom grew up, my mom had this friend down the block. She was a nice enough lady, but the glass was always half empty.
Yeah, right.
Always. And that's just the way it was. And my mom wasn't that way. And I always said, Mom, why? Why are you hanging out with her?
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, well, she never had an answer, you know. They were friends, but, you know, and she could overcome, she could see it, but she didn't allow that negativity to get her.
Right.
Right? But I didn't see my mom's positivity rubbing off on her either.
Right.
You know?
I hate to paint with a broad brush, but Italian women, old school Italian women, they're notorious for just being negative. Just always looking at the glass half empty. And that kind of stuff, that resonates with folks too. And that will, like, your mom maybe did a good job of blocking the bad energy and keeping everything optimistic and positive.
Right.
But at the same time, if you don't have those skills, you can let that energy drain you over time. And like, let's say you're a kid around this environment, you don't know any different. All right. you know is that's negative.
Right.
This is not good. Right. Don't do that. Be worried about X, Y, and Z. The boogeyman's going to get you. You're going to get pneumonia. Wow. You're going to get sick. Come home early. Stuff like that. And, like, that's just kind of what I remember. Not all the time, but, like,
right.
I remember some of that growing up.
Yeah. Know? Well, now you have a choice how you raise your son.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And you could still have these concerns because you have as a parent.
Yeah.
You have to look out.
Yeah, yeah.
But put that positive spin on it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. So is what would you call this? This is, the in a sense, the spiritual journey, becoming more and more self-aware.
Be right? aware. Be aware. You know, the number one spiritual growth tool is self-observation.
Self-observation.
Know thyself, right?
Yeah.
And all you have to do is, you know, I'm taking this class, this one-year program, shamanic
yep.
program,
mm-hmm.
and they give us every 2 weeks new homework. And for right now, so we're in the West. We're doing with the medicine wheel. We started in spring in the East. Summer was the South, and now we're in the West. And the West is about letting go, right?
Mm.
Like the fall, right? All mm-hmm. these leaves, letting
mm-hmm.
go. Where we're harvesting, and all these plants are just, we're going to get the first frost any day now.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to see these beautiful blooms just going to go, brr. And so, but it's all about not having these attachments.
Mm.
So, but the biggest thing we're working on right now is energy leaks. And what are my job is for these next 2 weeks is I have to look at what are my big energy leaks, whether that be procrastination,
yeah.
whether it be anger, whether it be buying in other people's dramas.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so, and it's, so it's just, it's, the more I do it, because I've been doing that for a while, it's amazing to see that, you go, huh. And the biggest statements, is that so? Is that so? Ah, just being curious. Just be curious when I catch myself, so, using these energy leaks, I just have to be, number one, don't try to change anything. Just observe.
Observe,
and
okay.
number two, be super loving and compassionate towards myself.
Okay.
Don't go, oh my God,
yeah,
you
yeah.
did it again.
Yeah.
Ah,
you idiot.
Yeah, you're stupid.
I'm guilty. Dude, I'm yeah. guilty of that. Oh, I do that all the time.
We all do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just being very loving and compassionate. Just,
so, a non-judgmental or a compassionate, understanding, emotional attachment, not attachment, an emotional feeling towards yourself. So if you're doing self-observation, you're kind of like untangling the negative, if you will, or the,
yeah.
I don't want to say the negative, but incoherent vibration inside of you.
Yeah, well, things that, yeah, you know, it's all, once again, back to energy.
Mm.
And you know, and it's the you know, according to the Buddhas, you know, the Buddhist, that everything's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And the suffering comes from desires,
mm.
having desires. And it's not that desires in and of themselves are bad, but we don't want to have we want to have intentions for things, but
yeah.
we don't want to hold on the attachment. I mean, it's
okay.
a real paradox. You want to have things, but you, on the other hand, you want to be okay if you don't have
yeah,
things,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And that's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Right?
So you said you're doing a shamanic training. This is a year-long shamanic program.
Right.
Let's explain what it is to be a shaman or what shamanism is in general, because I think people hear the term shaman and they're like, ooh, but they don't know exactly what that is.
Right.
So what is
right.
a shaman and why is that even relevant?
Well, yeah, well, shamanism is the world's oldest spiritual tradition. And so they have anthropologists, they can for sure say, yeah, it was around 70,000 years ago. There's scientific evidence of that. But they figure it's way longer than that. So all your indigenous people throughout the world always had, every tribe would have a shaman, would have a medicine man or a medicine woman. And they were the ones who would take care of the people physically, but as well as mentally, emotionally.
Uh-huh.
And they would know, they would be the ones. And shamanism is all about, well, the definition of shamanism, the easiest definition I know is it's the gathering, the storing, and the use of power.
Gathering, storing, and use of power.
Yeah. Mm. And so like if somebody comes to you, say, Danny, I just want to get in better shape. That's a bid for power. Why do they want to be in better shape? Well, because maybe they want to be able to hold their grandchild, or maybe they just feel like they want to keep up with their spouse. You know, those. So that's a bid for power. Why do you go to school? To get educated. That was a bid for power. Mm. So these are all bids for power. Eating correctly, right?
Mm.
All these things. Those are all bids for power. So it's, but the thing is that shamanism, it just gives you the framework. There's what I love about it, because I grew up in the Catholic tradition, you know, in faith, and I enjoyed it for many years. But after a while, I was sitting there, and I'm like, I was sitting in church, and you know, when we adjourned mass, you would have the what's called the Apostles' Creed.
Uh-huh.
We believe in this. We believe this. We believe that. And after a while, I was like, well, I don't know about that. Well, I believe that, maybe. This, no, definitely. I don't believe that anymore. You know, and it was just an evolution, my own personal evolution. And I see it, and so as I was pulling away from it, I was really thirsty for something. I knew there was more, but then I'd always heard of shamanism, but it was about 9 years ago, I came across this... the Power Path people down in Santa Fe, and they have a school down there, and it was just really, really spoke to me. And it's just basic, because I grew up reading Joseph Murphy, The Power of Subconscious Mind, you know, Think and Grow Rich, you know,
storing the subconscious,
all and that,
reenacting what's stored in the subconscious, because I think that is what we're talking about. That is what's finding deeper levels of self-awareness, is getting into your unconscious subconscious, because that's, they say, 40 times more powerful than the conscious mind, or 100 times, whatever. I don't know how you measure how much more powerful it is.
Yeah,
but the moral of the story is your subconscious mind is how you is how you allow things to play out in your reality, right?
Yeah, but you know, also, but the yeah, and but what I like about shamanism, it's very practical.
Okay,
it gives you tools and techniques that and a framework to look at the world of, and that it gives you be able to gather more and more power, so you could go through life really being able to number one, have peace and contentment in your heart, right?
Yep.
And be able to help manifest. And the word manifest, you know, that whole, the power of manifestation.
It gets shit on so much.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we're manifesting reality all the time.
Yeah.
Like, right now, right here, everything that we do, things are unfolding. That's just that's the things manifesting.
Right.
So to get all foo-foo about it, or woo-woo or whatever, like, yeah, I'm going to make my dream come true by just wishing or whatever. Like, that's what people think when they hear manifesting.
Right.
You know?
Right.
When in reality, it's like we're always doing it.
Right.
It's always playing out.
Right. And so it just gives you, for me, it gave me a spiritual framework to be able to go through life in a way that was really congruent. It just makes me feel more at ease, more at peace, and I
whole.
Feel that whole. And I feel it makes me a better husband.
Yeah.
I'm hoping a better father, a better doctor,
yep.
better friend.
Yep.
You know, and it's just an easy framework. That's all it is. It's just what I like about it. There's no rules, no regulations, no dogma. It's
because when you start talking about spirituality, let's break that down even. Like, what is your definition of being a spiritual person or evolving your spirituality? What does that even mean? I know, like, it's a big part of what it means to be a human, having faith in a bigger purpose. Maybe that's the definition of spirituality, or, you know, evolving your self-awareness. Maybe that's another level of what spirituality might mean. But what do you think spirituality means?
Well, to me, spirituality, because for years I would study things, And I always said it's easy to be spiritual early in the morning when there's nothing going on and you're in a dark room,
yeah,
and you can meditate and be quiet. That was easy, but it was always like when it rubber meets the road. So to me, spirituality is, you know, it's such a great question, because I don't even know if I have an answer for that, tell you the truth, you know. I know, like, to be on a spiritual path, to me, is meaning, like we mentioned earlier, being just learning more about, you know, more about how I, like, this inner shaman, you know, and they talk about, Jose Stevens wrote a book about the inner shaman, and it's all about, you know, that's where our soul, that's what our soul is. I don't know if it's where it resides necessarily, but that's, I mean, we know we're spiritual beings having this physical reality, So I think it's just, it's a way, to me, spirituality is just knowing more in who and what we are at our real essence.
Our core.
Of tapping into essence, of really being able to, the more I do it, the more I look at a tree, and the tree is, sometimes you see a tree as like, not just, well, that's a maple tree, or this is a beautiful oak, or look at this beautiful specimen, but you see this tree, and it's almost like, it might sound kind of crazy, but like you have this, you look at this tree, and it's just this tree, and you're looking, oh my God. And it's just, I don't even know how to explain it, but this is, what a beautiful being.
Yeah. Well, I think that, like, there's this illusion of separation, right? We all think that we're separate from one another, because our egos tell us that, like, I'm an individual, you're an individual. And in reality, we are. But if energy can't be created or destroyed and everything's energy, then everything in our reality is cut from the same fabric.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all, like, the tree is us and we are the tree. I like to look at the sun, for example. I think we are the sun is us, and we get all our energy from the sun. I guess our meridian system, the fascial meridian system, works in real time in connection with the sun. I don't know about that, but, like, going back to this idea of the illusion of being separate from one another, you know, Ram Dass says we're all, like, showing each other the path back home, right? We're all interacting here in this world, co-creating something to teach us more about the divine, right? The divine in us.
Yeah.
That's the mysterious piece of this whole thing. Like, where the hell does consciousness come from? What is consciousness? Where is it stored? Because, yes, it's like we're this person, we're thinking in between our ears and our nose, where all the sounds come out. Man. But, like, we don't necessarily know why we wake up and we're the same person every single day. Like, that's pretty fucking bizarre, if you ask me. And then you have it, the dogs have it, the insects have it, the trees have it. Things that we can't even perceive with our own eyes, that consciousness exists on a lot of dimensions and a lot of levels. And that's the beauty in wondering about the mystery of all this. I think that's also tied into being spiritual. It's like having faith in something that's outside of you. Like, you are part of a bigger construct, and that construct is part of a bigger construct, and infinity we go.
Right?
I look at shamanism when I hear the word shaman, I'm always connected to, like, some sort of ceremony. A shaman is the one that's orchestrating a spiritual ceremony, whether that be with ayahuasca or psilocybin or whatever kind of healing ceremony there is. Maybe on a simple level, a shaman could also be like a trainer orchestrating a workout and making sure that energy is balanced within the group of the workout.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing on another level. Shamans take people through these transcendental experiences, usually with some sort of psychedelic brew or some sort of psychedelic substance, like the two I mentioned earlier. But let's break that down. Does there always have to be psychedelics involved when it comes to being a shaman, or are there other ways that shamans interact and do ceremonies?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, number one, all shamans are very good at ceremony. That's a big part of being a shaman, is having ceremony. And you can have countless types of ceremonies, right? And it can, or it may or may not involve psychedelics. And you know, there's, but it's the big part of ceremony is creating space, right?
Mm-hmm. Creating
and
space.
Creating space. And just like you do in your gym.
Right.
You know, okay, you got four people today. You create that space.
Yep.
When you're one-on-one, you're creating that space. Yep. And then there's just the space of your whole business.
Mm-hmm.
That's a space.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all, and that's so for you, so a shaman just holds space for whether it be for one or for a big group. And, you know, they can have, because they, a lot of times you see there are certain groups, and I'm sure you heard of prayer groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just that whole energy. So it's just a matter, it's just a container for energy, right? And there's so many ways to use that. And so you could do that. And I mean, they will use music to help,
mm-hmm.
right? Music's a big part,
yep.
right? With drumming, rattles.
Another thing that's vibration and frequency and energy that's interacting with
right.
whatever vibration's coming off our human body.
Right.
Right.
Well, the Shipibo tribe down in South America, they use music and to give songs all about vibrations, and they have different things, and then they actually, with these songs, they'll create these tapestries to match these songs.
Mm.
And it's amazing, because that's how they see it, you know. So
yeah,
so it's just once again vibration. Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to, that's why I love what you said about the sun. I mean, that's our biggest star, and just here the life on Earth wouldn't exist without it, right?
Mm-hmm, 100%.
So everything's energy, and that's just the energy of the sun. That's just the solar energy.
So hear me out. If the sun is this star constantly emitting life force, right, pulling planets in its orbit,
right,
pulling other solar systems in its orbit, then you have the galaxy on another level. That's pulling right. in all those massive stars in its orbit. And then usually galaxies, they then merge together and they form a super galaxy or whatever. Could we bring that down on a really smaller scale and be like humans? Each human is that potential star emitting life force energy. And then with all the people and all the organizing that you do in your day, you're pulling that energy in towards you like planets. Right.
Yeah.
Can that be something to say?
Yeah, I think
for that?
So. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, I mean, think even just to take that and just think about the days when you wake up, and like say you're sick,
uh-huh.
your energy is pretty low,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
And you just, do people want to be around you?
No. I don't want to be around at all.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to think about things
yeah.
when I'm like sick, and you know
right.
I have the sniffles and my body aches and
right.
like. It's for me, I look at those times as like human upgrades. Like the universe is forcing you to rest. There's something that's out of that bit of power that you were talking about that's out of balance right now.
Right.
You've been overused in one area, maybe in multiple areas that mm-hmm. have drained your system complete, and now you got to upgrade. Now you got to like shut down the computer for a little while in order to come back with new programming, new uploads, or whatever you might want
right.
to call.
Right. But you know you'll bounce back, thankfully, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, you know, but your vibration's low. But those days when you're really on, when you had a
yeah.
good night's sleep,
yeah.
you had a nice night the night before,
uh-huh.
you held that baby,
uh-huh.
and you go, oh,
yep.
you hold that baby, and you get, woof, and then now you're emitting, and now you can bring in, so you can do that, just have it happen spontaneously,
yep.
just through your life, and
mm-hmm.
and creating nice things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Versus crap, you know.
Yeah.
Or you could purposely do it by having meditation where you're pulling in, you visualize, and you're literally pulling in that energy of the sun, and you're filling yourself up.
Yeah.
And you do it. I can always tell when I'm really vibrating good.
Me too.
Because, number one, because people, even if just you're walking down the street and your strangers see you, and you'll see they're looking at you out of the corner of their
yeah,
eye.
Yeah, it's like, what's up with
because
that
they
guy?
Go, and they won't see it when you're come on, but out of the corner of their eyes, that's when we catch things. And they go, man, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
they just look at you, and you know it because, and they're just, because that's the energy. They're picking that up.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're moping down the street, nobody's. You're not.
But you can also feel that too. So like when I work, I mean you too, I'm sure. When you work with certain people and you see them every day, day in and day out, you develop this like understanding of their patterns.
Sure.
And then you can start to realize, okay, this is when they're on in their top days. And when something's off, you can sense it right away in their demeanor. Oh. At least I can. I mean, I'm sure you can. You're a shaman.
And, you know, right. And the you know, the body, the posture tells you.
Yeah.
A lot, right?
Tells you everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, so I think the main thing is that my goal is every day is to spend, to keep building up power. And there's so many ways to do it, and that's
why
I'm
trying to learn.
Let's
talk about some of those ways, baby.
Well, I mean, number one is meditate.
Meditate.
Right? Be quiet.
Get quiet.
I don't care. There's a million and one ways to meditate. There's no right way. There's no wrong way.
I like to say just get started with 1 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a win. It's a win. It redirects your energy. It gives you an opportunity in the day to allowing to minimize distraction, right? Because when you're focusing on your inhale and exhale and other thoughts pop up like they normally do, you redirect it back to the breath, and that sets you up. It's priming your brain for not being distracted when you're doing task A, task B, task C for that day, especially if you got yourself set up, right?
Yeah.
It primes you for redirecting your focus and intention.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I give people all the time my 5-minute energizer.
Okay.
And all that is just imagining in your belly, the solar plexus, that you got your own personal sun there, and you breathe into it, just let it get big, and like you said, thoughts are going to come, and just know they're coming, and just say, ah, there it is, okay.
There it is, redirect
it. And then just go back to breath.
Yeah.
You know, and then if it's, you know, you do what you can. Like, yeah, I'll tell people, I say 5 minutes, but I'll take 1 minute, like you said.
Sure.
1 minute.
That's a win.
So
when you
win.
Do when you meditate for real, like how long are you going for?
You know, I'm anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes usually. Yeah.
All right.
But I'm at my best when I have my morning ritual, and I start off with my coffee, and even just sitting with my coffee, I'm just quiet with my coffee, and I'm just enjoying the
Me
coffee.
Too. I like that.
I like too. Another way to meditate is just focusing on gratitude, love, and awe. So, and it can be all about the same things. So that's GLA, GLA. I just so grateful for my coffee, you know, and I can just have just that. And it's not necessarily. I mean, it is the coffee, but it's just the time with that coffee, being quiet, enjoying. That's my time,
I
love it. And then I make sure I give myself time for that. And there's the love. I love it. And then I can think of, you can think of a pet. You can think of your child. You can think
the
of
house, the stuff that you
whatever,
have. Yeah.
Anything. You could think, man, I really love that. And it doesn't matter what you love. It doesn't matter what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
It's just because those are just vibrations.
Yeah. What so gives you want, that feeling?
Yeah. Whatever. It could be the same thing every time. You know, you can say, I got this. I have a cat. I just love that cat. I'm in awe of that cat, you know. For me, I use my granddaughter, my oldest one. She was born real premature, and I just remember the first time I held her in my heart, in my hands. I was like the Grinch when his heart grew 10 sizes that day. I felt my heart just go woof.
Right.
And it was, so I go to that all the time, and then I was just in such awe of her, you know. And anything, being in awe of a sunset, a sunrise, being in awe of a whatever, it doesn't matter. It's that vibration. So just spending time, that's a great way to meditate.
Yeah, meditation is definitely an important one.
Yeah, you can do that driving, right?
Yeah.
That's the nice thing.
Yeah, Joe Dispenza has several kinds of meditation, sitting meditation, standing meditation, walking meditations.
Sure.
So like, it's a redirecting of your intention and focus on your breathing. But then after a few minutes, I like to say something out loud and be like, whether it's like, universe, show me X, Y, and Z. Then I stop and then I listen to what actually pops up. So this is more of like this active meditation, right? I throw something out there and then I listen to what's coming through me. And those times are usually like the gems. Nice. Like there's always something that I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, hell yeah, whatever that is, you know?
Good.
And I feel like that is, like, I've been doing it for 5 years now, 6 years maybe. And I do 12 minutes in the morning, non-negotiable. Sometimes it's more, but, you know, it's just my morning routine. I'm going to buy 90 minutes to get up, make my coffee, do my cold shower, do a little breathing, feed the dogs, take care right. of the baby, whatever I got to do. But I give myself minimum 10 to 12 minutes every day. Sometimes it goes longer. And those
you
longer
always
days,
have that time.
Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the best. It's and non-negotiable for me.
And I love it. I love that you, because... And asking for what
ask.
You need to know at this point.
Ask.
Ask for help. And just say, hey, why do I need to know?
Yeah.
What can I do?
Yeah.
And it's crazy to what will come.
You're priming your brain to see it in front of you. Because if you're in that pessimistic mode like we talked about, you're way less likely to see the patterns that are right in front of you. Because right. you're programmed and focused on...
Well, your vibration's low.
Yep.
When your vibration's low, you see low vibration
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
When your vibration's high, you see high vibration. It's
that
simple.
Simple.
You change your vibration.
Hilarious. That's not hilarious, but you know what I mean. It's just
yeah.
it's so simple. Like we're looking out to all these types of surgeries and all these different types of, I don't know, whatever it is that people are doing today to heal or whatever, that they'll definitely sell you, but it may not be long term.
Right.
What the solution is. But like something simple like this, getting on a routine like that, you can really prime your brain to see different things. Okay.